This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Reach us at 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. You know, Pat Riley gets a lot of the credit. He's the bigger brand name. And he's one of the all-time great coaches, and he's one of the all-time great team presidents, obviously. And if the Dolans were 1,000 times smarter than they were at the time, they would have cut Pat Riley in for a little piece of the business, and he'd be in New York, and the Knicks would have had a glorious history these last several decades. But instead, he went down to Miami, where they gave him a piece of the team, and now the Heat are the ones with not only the history, but the present and the future. Want to bet Philly's future is better than the Knicks? Anyway, Eric Spoelstra, however, I don't know if he's underrated because everyone always says, hey, he's underrated. But it's not a slight against Spoelstra that Riley is this huge kind of figure and everyone's in his shadow who's not a player in that organization, including Spoelstra. But Spoelstra's a multiple-time championship coach. And even when he didn't have that kind of talent, look how his team plays. Look at the effort they put in. Here's the head coach himself, Eric Spoelstra, on having Jimmy Butler for big moments.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, he wants these kind of moments, and you know, so much of playoff basketball at the end, you have to do a lot of things well during the course of the game, but you want the ball. To be in your most stable, experienced guys.
Right. As I said, when Pat Riley organizations have had guys like, you know, the hard-grinding, work-a-day star player, who's something maybe a little less than an MVP, but still an excellent player, and even sometimes a great player, as their best player, they're brutal in the playoffs to get rid of. They don't win championships, but, oh, are they a tough out. Like, when he had Alonzo Mourning and Tim Hardaway in Miami, they used to get bounced in the first round by the Knicks. But those were brutal series that went the distance and were really close and hotly contested. That was with Patrick Ewing leading the way. Sorry, that was with Alonzo Mourning leading the way. When he had Patrick Ewing with the Knicks before that, who was better than Alonzo Mourning, they came within a hair of winning a championship. People forget. I mean, Olajuwon, when Jordan took a little hiatus, Olajuwon was the best player in the game and went and won back-to-back championships. And even though he's not the greatest center of all time, I think most basketball heads you talk to, if they're actually, say, construct your perfect team, Olajuwon's your center. He's actually the center you want. And even later in his career, his one weakness, which was as a passer, he became a very good passer later in his career. But he could do everything offensively and defensively. And so they lost to that team. But game six, Starks had a look, and Olajuwon got his fingertip on the ball. Forget about game seven when Starks missed all those shots. And by the way, Olajuwon had to kind of step outside a little bit because game seven, Patrick Ewing's defense was great. Blocked like six shots. But Olajuwon could. He could hit jump shots. He could do everything. At any rate, Olajuwon got his fingertips on the ball in game six. If that shot goes in, Knicks win in six. That's how close Pat Riley teams get when they have a guy as good as Patrick Ewing leading the way, even if there's no other superstar on the team. When a Pat Riley team, coached by Spoelstra, has LeBron James and Dwayne Wade, they go to the finals every year and they win back-to-back. When a Pat Riley team has Magic, Kareem, James Worthy, they win championships. Then they make deep playoff runs every year. Who's Jimmy Butler? What's this team? And could this be a year where a Pat Riley-led organization, coached by the great Eric Spoelstra, could this be a year where that workaday guy, and by that I mean he's not as like supernaturally talented Jimmy Butler or Alonzo Mourning or Patrick Ewing as, you know, let's say Jimmy Butler versus, you know, like LeBron James. He's not LeBron James. or Alonzo Mourning, you know, wasn't Shaq. And Patrick Ewing wasn't Olajuwon quite, right? But can Jimmy Butler, or can this be the year that a Pat Riley-led organization behind a guy like Jimmy Butler wins a championship? Because this bubble, we're going to see some weird stuff. There was a long work stoppage. There are no crowds. There's no travel. There's no road games. There are also no home games. We thought we'd see some funky stuff so far. We have two game sevens in the first round, and the Heat have yet to lose a playoff game. Can this be the year that Pat Riley wins it all without a Dwayne Wade in his prime, Shaq while he's still great combination, without a big three, without Kareem and Magic? It might be. Rob in Virginia, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
What's up?
Rod, go ahead.
All right, my question is, if you think that the Heat will win the series, do you think that Giannis will request the trade?
I think that there's a good chance Giannis is going to want out. And the way it works in the NBA is you're incentivized to stay for the first 7 years, not to leave after your rookie deal, because you leave too much money on the table. At generational life-changing money, right? Generation-changing money. But, like, legacy money. But if you're in a market like Milwaukee and they can't win, and sometimes even if they can, after 6 years, you really, the clock is ticking. When you have a guy like Giannis, you have 6 years to win the whole thing. And then after that, their agent comes to the team and they say, okay, look, we're going to sign elsewhere. We've made our money now here, and we're going to leave a little bit of money on the table because now this guy and his family for generations are set. And so now we're willing to leave a little money on the table in the next deal in order to go to some big market or warm weather market or the market where he's from or whatever, right? Might as well trade us now heading into the seventh season so you're not left holding the bag. You have nothing for us. And that's generally what happens. I can't think of when it hasn't happened like that, actually. Chaz in Philly, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, I'm a big fan. I just wanted to talk to you about Kawhi and LeBron.
Yeah.
I just think last year you jumped pretty quickly to calling Kawhi the best in the world, mm-hmm. and I had like a small disagreement. I didn't feel like him winning a chip with Tim Duncan, where he wasn't top three on the team, mm-hmm. and then him winning a chip not against KD, who I felt with LeBron hurt at least was the best in the world, mm-hmm. really proved to me that like he has that dog, that all-time great in him that I think LeBron and KD do and showed at different points in their career.
Well, I'll say this. It's not about KD not being there because KD's not. It's that KD, at his level, you have an MVP player, you put him on a 73-win team. That team's unbeatable. You're not going to beat that team. So Kawhi had no shot if KD was playing. It's not because KD's better than him. It's because the Warriors were too loaded. And when you said he wasn't top three on the team with Duncan, meaning Ginobili and Parker, except when it mattered most. Because in the finals, he was not top three, he was top one. They gave him the MVP. So I hear what you're saying. His career has not matched LeBron's. His peak has not matched LeBron's. But I'm talking about right now, who's the king of the NBA? I think everyone will see at the end of these playoffs, Kawhi will be the last man standing. The best rivalry in the NBA continues tonight between Jamal Murray and Donovan Mitchell in a Game 7. I can't believe how this is like mind-blowing how great this Game 7 is going to be. Who has the edge? While you can't believe everything on social media these days, you can believe it's possible to start a new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months from the comfort of your own home, even if you have zero computer experience. That's me. My parents were so against computers for some stupid reason when I was a kid. I'm terrible with them. Maybe I need to see my computer career here. Instead of waiting to see what happens when life gets back to normal, so to speak, take control of your future right now. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take a free career evaluation today. Live online classes meet just twice a week while everyone else is spinning their wheels waiting for this pandemic to blow over. It ain't just going to blow over. You'll be getting skills. You'll be setting yourself up for a career. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Reach us at 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. Don't forget to listen to ESPN Audio at home via your smart speaker. ESPN Audio at Home, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out how far an extra mile really goes. From customization and service to financial assistance, Mercedes-Benz vans are ready for anything. Two game sevens in the first round in a year where anything can happen. The NBA is really just showing off at this point. Zero COVID cases with the bubble. By the way, they even got all their local TV money. Remember, there was like seven more regular season games at the time of the stoppage because of the pandemic. Seven more regular season games in order to have all the local TV money kick in. They got the games in, got the local TV money. Talk about having your cake and eating it too. Got the local TV money, started the playoffs, had a great play-in idea that worked. They were like thrilling play-in games. Had a great first round so far. If not for Porzingis' injury, I still think the Clippers probably would have won that series, but man, that looked rough for them. Portland started out hot. They couldn't sustain it, and Lillard got hurt, but for a minute there was drama in that Lakers series. The Rockets and Thunder are going to a Game 7, and the Nuggets and Jazz are having a duel for the ages between Jamal Murray and Donovan Mitchell. There's never been this kind ever in the history of the league. Now, look, I understand you have to adjust for the era. The reason guys are putting up crazy numbers now is because this era permits it with rules and the way the game is played and all that. So, like, are these guys doing something that Kobe Bryant or Michael Jordan couldn't do? No. Are they as good as Kobe Bryant or Michael Jordan? No. I'm not saying that it's like that. But nevertheless, we've never seen people fill it up like this. Certainly not scoring like Donovan Mitchell and Jamal Murray ever in the same playoff series. They were rivals in college. They enter the league. They're around the same age. They have around the same roles on their teams. And they're scoring unlike any, and by the way, efficiently. Donovan Mitchell with a lesser team and with chemistry issues, like with him and Gobert, don't forget about that. Somehow, Mike Conley not playing well and not playing at all at times, somehow gets to a 3-1 lead on a loaded Denver team, not just with Jamal Murray, but with Jokic. And they have good players, a good roster top to bottom, and gets to a 3-1 lead, and then here comes Jamal Murray. It's never been like this, where two guys scoring efficient 40 and multiple 40 and 50 point games each in the same series. Donovan Mitchell at one point he had, I want to say, 92 or 93 points without a turnover. Without a turnover? Woo! Tonight at 8:30. Oh. By the way, and ESPN Radio has the game. It's like, oh, I got to go do this thing at 8:30. Don't worry about it. Just keep the radio on. And when you get to that dinner that you're forced to go to, just keep it on. It's called a driveway moment. Just have a driveway moment and let that last about an hour. Raj, once again, I can't see the screen. See, I have a mirrored screen on my computer here. We're using Max. Zoom. And the screen, so whatever Raj puts up, I can see. And then every time I look at the screen, I don't know what he's doing, but suddenly it's blurry or there's a thing over it.
Essentially, I should understand these times we're in right now. Right now, I'm still in the middle of a fantasy baseball battle to the end of the season. Good, it's a shortened season. Very important. I got some starting pitchers.
It's the only excuse that works on me. I get it. There's nothing in life more important at any moment than your fantasy team. That happens to be a fact. What else?
Okay, and then we're 10 days away from the NFL season. I got 3 drafts coming up, Max. I got to prepare.
What are you with these keeper leagues? Ridiculous. You play daily fantasy. I don't want to hear about that.
I do both. I'm a nerd.
Ridiculous.
All right.
How could you play keeper leagues and season-long leagues when you have daily fantasy nowadays? It doesn't make sense. It's pure adrenaline. Jamal in California, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Yes, sir, brother. The Clippers going to win it all.
Does everyone hear how Jamal did that call, not what's going on, pause,
what's
hey, Max,
on,
how you
I
doing?
You every
no. No, no, Jamal, you did it right. Yes, sir, the Clippers are going to win it all. That's what I'm talking about. That's a call. Why are they going to win it all, Jamal?
We got the best starting five, and we got the best bench, and we got three of the greatest coaches on the sideline with Doc Rivers. We got Sam Cassell and Lou. And
Ty Lue.
Ty Lue, yes, sir. So we're going to take it all here in Los Angeles, man. It's our year, it's our time.
By the way,
it's
a good point that we haven't talked about. It's not just Doc Rivers. It's Doc Rivers and his staff. Ty Lue and Sam Cassell. You're right. They're Steve Ballmer came in. There was a culture change after the worst owner in sports, Donald Sterling, was shown the door. Steve Ballmer came in. He's done a great job so far. And by the way, Steve Ballmer was like the 16th guy in the garage when someone else had a good idea and wound up with $50 billion. I was skeptical when he bought the team. I thought, I remember when he was in charge of Microsoft, I think it was, wasn't it CEO? Like, I forgot it was CEO of Microsoft. They stopped making anything any young person wanted. Remember that? And then he wouldn't let people use Apple tablets, what are they called, in the locker room because they weren't the product that he had worked on. It's like, well, make something people want to work on. And, you know, like, but so I was very skeptical of Ballmer. Ballmer's been great. Ballmer's been a great owner of a franchise. And Doc Rivers, and by the way, when they made the mistake of giving Doc GM powers, they fixed that too. Now Doc can concentrate on being the Hall of Fame coach he is. Ty Lue and Sam Cassell and the staff have done a great job. Kawhi has been the best player on a championship team level player, including through the playoffs, as usual. You're right. And by the way, I also like the Clippers to go all the way. I like them to go all the way since preseason. Clarence in Newburgh, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
Hey, Max, how you doing? I love you on First Take along with Stephen A. Smith, but you guys anger me sometime because you
good.
Just angered
That's
me a few segments ago when you said Olajuwon would be the number one center on your team. So what about Kareem, Bill Russell, and Will Chamberlain?
This is my point. Hold on. This is my point. Do I rank Olajuwon above them? No. If we're including the modern era and all the eras of the NBA, I'd take Bill Russell right after Michael Jordan, after LeBron, Michael Jordan, LeBron James, and Bill Russell. But I'm talking about modern NBA, so that means no Bill Russell, and that was most of where Wilt's prime was too. So now we're talking about who? Kareem and Shaq and some others. Kareem at his best in modern NBA, it's Michael Jordan 1 and Kareem and LeBron are duking it out for 2. I'm not saying I take Olajuwon's better than Kareem. I'm saying when you actually put your all-time team together and you want your center to be able to run the floor and play lockdown defense on multiple positions in a modern game and also stretch the floor, can he shoot? Can he shoot free throws, which indicate whether he'd be able to shoot the three, right? And do every single thing you want a center to do. Olajuwon, when I'm actually thinking about the construction of the team, I'd take him. Kareem's greater than Olajuwon. I'm not arguing that. I'm saying when you really start putting your team together in your own mind, how do I want them to play? I want them to be able to play in any era. I want them to be able to play with any group of players. What can Olajuwon not do? The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us in the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. The NFL is now stepping in to investigate the Washington football franchise. What does this mean? How did this come to be? We're going to get into it. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. The Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio News, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker, the Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Reach us at 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. So this has been widely reported at this point, but according to the New York Times, updated at 3:15 p.m. today, the NFL has taken over an investigation into claims of sexual harassment made by more than a dozen women who worked for the Washington football team during the past 2 decades. Okay. What you may be hearing is Dan Snyder, the owner of the Washington franchise, who stood up there and petulantly told everyone, I'm never, all caps, print it, I'm never changing the name of this team. Parenthetically, I don't care who I offend or how stupid it is that people would actually defend that name. It was indefensible, always was. And he really, really dug his heels in. And I told everyone, I told you for years now, he will change the name. He changed the name, but was caught without a plan. And now this team is embarrassingly referred to as the Washington Football Team, which I've been calling them for years, waiting for them to actually change their name. So you may be hearing it reported now that, because Snyder said in a statement, quote, this is according to the Times, that he suggested to Goodell that the league take over the investigation, quote, so that the results are thorough, complete, and trusted by the fans, the players, our employees, and the public. But understand, this is not Dan Snyder's idea. No, he resisted this at first. Going back to the beginning of the Times article, the move comes after lawyers representing some of the women last week criticized the investigation and the NFL commissioner, Roger Goodell, for allowing the team's owner, Daniel Snyder, to hire the law firm that is investigating the matter and to control the response to its findings. I've hired the law firm, and it turns out I'm completely innocent. Look at that. Now there's pressure on, right? They had to apply public pressure to get Dan Snyder to publicly suggest the right thing and for the NFL to do it. Our clients, this is according to the women's lawyers, our clients would gladly participate in such an NFL investigation, but do not feel safe speaking to investigators hired by Mr. Snyder and do not trust the investigation that is currently underway, the lawyer said in a letter to Goodell. They wanted to be released from all elements of their non-disclosure agreements, which apparently they have been, because they had settlements. We communicated our strong belief that without this type of transparency, there can be no real accountability, and moreover, that victims of this type of abuse should be able to tell their stories when and how they wish to do so without threat of legal action, of course. Anyway, it's in the NFL's hands now. Let's see what happens. Seems to me that Dan Snyder, who's made a mockery of this franchise, I'm a Giants fan, as pathetic as the Giants have been in recent years. Even I look at the schedule and go, oh, good, a game against Washington. We'll win that one. They're the laughingstock of the NFC East, usually. The owner is a laughingstock if you have, if your moral compass is right. I've always been offended by the name of that team, and even when it was brought to his attention, he used surveys with very flawed methodology to insist that it wasn't that the former term, which I find it's a racial epithet. Like I won't use it even to refer to it. I've called them the Washington team now for years. That wasn't offensive to Native Americans. Why is it when I go to reservations? Because look, there are lots of casinos on reservations throughout the country, and there's boxing where there are casinos. And so I've been to different reservations for fights. And unsolicited, I've had a tribal chief approach me and say, hey, he'd like to meet, and presented me with a feather and a letter thanking me for standing up for Native Americans I was very honored by it and a little embarrassed. But it was just like, you do the right thing. If I knew that, how did Dan Snyder not know that? Anyway, it's a bad organization because a fish rots from the head down. What I like that Adam Silver did was he used the tapes that Donald Sterling that were circulated of Donald Sterling saying racist stuff just as an excuse to get rid of him. Like what you say in your private time, it's kind of, even though it was terrible, when someone releases that, you're like, that's behind closed doors. Can that get you the league to make sure you sell the team? Usually not, actually. I was expecting them to give him a slap on the wrist. Here's a $10 million fine, for a guy that rich and whatever. No. They said, get lost. Adam Silver used it as an excuse and the players to get rid of a bad apple. What if the NFL did the same thing for Dan Snyder? Put pressure, brought pressure. By the way, the attorneys for the women have mentioned that already, depending on the findings of this investigation. Use it as an excuse to get rid of a bad owner. By the way, Washington fans, you should want that. How much success have you had since he's owned the team? When was the last time you won a Super Bowl? If the Rockets lose Game 7 tomorrow, it's a wrap for D'Antoni. According to Stephen A. Smith, I will respond. Last take is next. Hiring can be a challenge, but ZipRecruiter makes it fast and easy. Ali, CEO of Walls Need Love, struggled to find the right hire for his wallpaper company, so he turned to ZipRecruiter. And today you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Max. He said that his perfect candidate skills and experience were a great match for the role. Plus, she applied within a few days after he posted the job. A few days. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the very first day. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Max. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Max. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80. And on your smart speaker, reach us at 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. It's time for the Progressive MLB Snapshot. All right. Oh, I thought we had sound on the snapshot, Raj. Yankees don't make a move at the trade deadline. And I'm a huge Yankees fan, and I've been killing Cashman in recent years. He's done an excellent job. But when your chief rival in your division, the Boston Red Sox, have one more World Series since 2001, you know, you're going back almost 20 years now, then you've won one, and they've won 3 now. That's unacceptable. I don't insist that the Yankees win the World Series every year, but I absolutely insist they win it more than anyone else. And it, what must be is they win it more than the Red Sox. Have to. And I've killed Cashman in the past because he has not been willing to pull the trigger on deals for that real ace at the top of the rotation. There was a chance to get Verlander. The price was too steep for him. He let Verlander go to Houston. Same thing with Gerrit Cole. Like, he didn't. They wanted him. They drafted him. They tried to trade for him, but eventually it costs a little too much. They don't want to do it. They haven't been willing to spend in either prospects, like resources, nor in treasure what it takes to get that ace. And they had some high leverage moments where, had they done it, I think they would have won the World Series a couple times. They went out and signed Gerrit Cole this time. Of course, when you wait for the guy to become a free agent, yes, you don't have to trade the prospects, but you lose compensatory draft pick, and on top of that, you now have to pay him market value. You have to set the market with him, which is what the Yankees did, and Cole's getting hit pretty hard last night. Anyway, so he hasn't been willing to do that, and he didn't do it again in this trade deadline, but I'm not going to kill him for it, because the Yankees have been so injury-ravaged. I don't think picking up a single player is the answer, and I don't think mortgaging a very promising future for this team is the answer either. So I understand staying pat right now. MLB Snapshot is brought to you by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today.
You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because yeah. I know on First Take, I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's Last Take.
Let's listen to Stephen A. Smith today from First Take. I'm going to react to it.
If the Houston Rockets lose Game 7 tomorrow night, there will be a new head coach for the Houston Rockets next year. There will be somebody new coaching Russell Westbrook and James Harden. You can book it. You can book it. You've met Tillman Fertitta. You know I know him, Max. There is no way, and no, I have not spoken to him, okay? There is no way in hell that Mike D'Antoni will remain as the head coach of the Houston Rockets if they lose Game 7.
I believe that. I don't know that that's the smart thing for the Rockets, but I understand that that may be true. I know the Pacers are after him, right? That's why, or at least I believe so, that's why Nate McMillan was fired. And also, there were things Nate McMillan didn't do. I think he's an excellent coach. I think the Pacers are an excellent organization, you know? Not a market that people are clamoring to go to. Also, because they're usually good, they're not picking super high up in the draft. They make savvy trades, and they get guys playing hard, and they have a really good team. And Nate McMillan, I think, every year is in the running for Coach of the Year. Nevertheless, you know, Miles Turner, maybe he could have done some things with him that he didn't do and shoot the three a little bit more and all that stuff. I wouldn't have fired Nate McMillan, but they did, and it looked like they were clearing the decks for Mike D'Antoni. Thing is, the Pelicans' job is available too. The Nets' job. Lots of interesting jobs in the NBA. Who would be good for the Rockets' job? Well, Nate McMillan's available. Imagine going from D'Antoni to Nate McMillan, just swapping head coaches. Ty Lue is normally, his name is bandied about as the best available head coach. He has championship pedigree after all. Players like him. Let's feed this into the ZipRecruiter. You know, ZipRecruiter has a patented algorithm or something there where they match the candidates. You're looking to hire someone. They find you the candidate for your job 4 out of 5 times in the very first day. You get a qualified applicant. So the ZipRecruiter computer, I'm going to put this in, hold on, for the Rockets here. See who the best fit for the job is if they fire D'Antoni. Okay. And it says Ty Lue. Ty Lue's the answer for every vacant head coaching vacancy. What about for D'Antoni? Well, let me see what's going on here. Where should D'Antoni? The ZipRecruiter computer. Here we go. It says, sorry, Indiana Pacers. The Pelicans' job is best for D'Antoni. It's not like the Pelicans have a lot of shooters. I suppose they're not that hard to find, though. But he would be an interesting coach for that offense, for sure. A lot of young talent on that offense. Brandon in Virginia, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Well, tell you that you're an idiot. You don't know football.
Okay.
Because you disrespect the Washington Redskins, or excuse me, the Washington Football Club way too much.
Right. And why does that mean I don't know football?
Well, there's more to it than that, but I just wanted to let you know that.
I disrespect them. In what way do I disrespect them? I want to make sure you're clear about your own thoughts. How do I disrespect them? Nothing. Yeah. I mean, I'm actually not disrespecting them. You have disrespected them by using that abhorrent name. That, by the way, they have dropped the name. They also know, finally, that you can't have that name. It's not disrespect. They stink, usually. Although, with Ron Rivera now, they should get that culture in a little better shape. But still, if you have ownership like Daniel Snyder, I don't see great things in your future. It's possible, pending the results of this investigation, who knows how much longer of sexual harassment in the workplace, who knows how much longer Daniel Snyder will be the owner of the Washington football team. Jason in Michigan, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hi, Max. Just wanted to say I like you on First Take a lot better than Skip. But I also just wanted to bring up the fact that you and Stephen A. Smith, you talk so highly of the Eagles and the Cowboys, and you bring them up in the conversations extremely often, and you really give no love to the NFC North. You talk about the Packers every so often, but I mean, the NFC North the past couple of years.
Who are you a fan of?
I mean, I'm a fan of the Lions, obviously, and there's really no talks about the Lions when in reality.
From Michigan, yeah. Okay, look, I'll tell you why we don't talk about the Lions. They're not that popular nationally compared to, because they haven't had a lot of success, and because they're not, like, you know, the Dallas Cowboys are a national brand, and the Eagles right now are their chief rivals in the division. And Wentz and Dak are big names. Now, I'll say this. Matthew Stafford, when he's been healthy recently, has looked like an MVP to me. But you got to stay on the field, and you got to put a team around him that's going to compete. That's why, like, if the Lions want to be talked about, or fans want the Lions talked about on a national stage, like the Cowboys and the Eagles, you must have success. Janae and Golic Jr. coming right up. This is the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.